be in his house. What a legacy that my husband and I both have. We get to co-pastor this church, and I just thank God for everything that he's doing. I don't know how you came in here this morning, but I want to tell you that there's hope for you. I want to tell you that you have not gone too far, that God still loves you. You haven't messed up too much for him to not want to have anything to do with you. I want to tell you that God, he has a plan. He has a calling for your life. They come without repentance. God's not up there saying, oh, I wish I wouldn't have given them that calling because they done messed up for the 50th time. No, he's up there and he's saying, you know what, that's my kid. And although maybe they've fallen short in this area, I still love them and I'm making a way for them where there wasn't a way. And so my hope and prayer for you this morning is that you're able to leave here lighter than what you came in. I don't know how you came in, but I want to tell you that God knows. God knows. And God loves you. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. I want you to give God one of the few things that we can give him. That's the sacrifice of our praise. See, if the devil's messed with you this week, if he's wreaked his ugly head at you this week, I want you to begin to lift up your hands. Why? Because, see, God says that those are holy hands. He says that he inhabits the very praises of his people. So, God, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord God, Lord, I thank you for a peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, I call healing in this place right now. God, from the north and the east and the south and the west, God, let the Holy Spirit fall in this service. Lord God, I thank you right now, Lord, for every addiction, God, that you're breaking in this place. Addiction must leave your people, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that depression is leaving right here, right now. God, anxiety is leaving this place right now in Jesus' name. Heaviness is leaving, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single thing that you're doing. God, for this one, Lord, I thank you right now that you're mending. There's a mending going on. There's a mending going on. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you for a peace that passes all understanding. God, there's things that we don't understand, but God, you know it all. So we trust you with it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. I'll just tell you, I'm loud and proud this morning. I'm really on one. People say, Kelly, you've been a little mellow here the past couple weeks. Look here. I'm like Arkansas weather. Give me a few services. I'll change it up. You know, I can tell I'm getting older. Alvy's known me since I was like a kid. Alvy, I've got 5 more years till I'm 40. I was driving in the car the other day and I thought, when did I get this old? And I know that's not old, but I thought, my gosh, Shelly, I'm going to be 40 and I'll blink and I'll be 40. And not that that's old, but I never picture myself 40. But anyhow, I can tell I'm getting older, Heather, because when I see little animal memes on Facebook, I love those. I've never been an animal person until I met my Lulu, and I'm won over by her. She's my girl. But I love seeing animal memes that say little funny, smirky, quirky things. And I used to think those were obnoxious and annoying, but now I'm like, oh, look at that puppy. I got to get a puppy. Jeremy's going, you ain't getting no puppy. And another thing that I can tell that I'm kind of getting a little older, I don't know if it's older or I'm just mellowing. I'm not sure what's going on up in here, but who knows. I like to see videos of kids. Children make me happy. And you know why they make me happy? Because they'll just tell it. They will just tell it. You ever want to know the truth about something? You go ask a kid. I don't ask my kids if I look chubby and such because I don't want to hear it. They'll tell you. And so this past week, I came across the video, and if I've watched this one time, I've watched it a million times. Every single time I watch it, I get more joy. I get more truth. I've never seen a video that had more truth in it than this little video. I want y'all to really pay attention if we can get where the camera will show the video to the people that's watching Facebook Live. I want to greet y'all this morning, and I want to say that, you know, I know you could be listening to any other pastor in Logan County right now, and so thank you for welcoming me into your home. And y'all pay attention to this video. Let it soak in, because we're going to talk about it.
Hey, Mama. When I have an attitude, I got to fix it myself. Because it's my attitude in my way. I know, I need to start listening. And I'm starting a new life for myself. So, everybody else, they're not making me have an attitude. I'm doing the attitude thing. They're not. They're trying to help me out. But I just don't like the way they do it. But I gotta have friends, or else I have nothing. I don't want to have all my toys out of my room, or I don't want a mattress light just laying on the floor. But at least I got a family in my heart, and you, and myself, and my good attitude. I got to fix the attitude. Nobody else ain't going to fix the attitude. I'm going to fix the attitude. It's my attitude and my life, so I got to fix my own attitude. Nobody else ain't going to tell me this, because it's my attitude. And why not? I should just be friends. I'm a nice girl, but not nice enough. But I'm good enough for friends, but not that good. My attitude, it is not that good. My attitude is super badly. And I'm changing my life. I'm having another life. Thank you for talking to me.
Now look, out of the mouth of babes, okay? Everybody say, it's my attitude.
My attitude.
I got to fix my attitude. You're right. So today we're going to talk about attitude. There's so many things that hold us back. What if the thing that was holding you back was you? Was you? What if the thing that was what was holding the breakthrough up was you? So, you know, so many times I catch myself in a bad attitude. Monday night we were delivering food, and I had had something that was bugging me earlier in the day. And I'm not like, I can't fake things. I'm not a faker. It'll get stuck in my craw, and I'm going to address it like a wild animal. I just wrestle with that thing. When I get mad, there's no faking it. It just is what it is. And something irritated me earlier in the day, Alvy. And as much as I tried to fake it, I was dishing up them meals and the senior citizen thing. And I was just trying to just be pleasant. And I'm not pleasant when I'm trying to fake being pleasant, okay? So I was up there dealing with that. And the Lord was saying, Kelly, you're going to have to get a hold of yourself. You got a bad attitude. You need to get a hold of that attitude. It's going to take the very blessing of what you're doing. You're going to miss out on a blessing because of your attitude. And I just wasn't having it. I said, God, I'm going to keep this bad attitude. It's mine. Back off. I'm keeping it. Well, that worked till we got to the first house. And God knows what to send. He knows who to send. He knows what circumstance, what situation to put you right up in your place. And so I got to the door. I always take another person with me, the one that likes to talk, the one I told y'all about a couple weeks ago, her, okay, that's my girl. Anyways, I said, This little old lady, she's not answering the back door like she told us, so I'm going to go and be real obnoxious, and I'm going to start knocking on the front door while you knock on the back door. I look at that now, and I'm like, that would be real annoying to me if I was somebody. Okay, so I'm just knocking, and I was saying, God, I just know this is going to be one of those days. Nobody's going to answer the door. Nobody this, nobody that. And I knew I was getting too far out there. I knew I needed to rein myself in. I just wasn't going to have it. So then the little sweet lady, she opens that door, and she was the sweet, she looked like an angel. And she smiled real big. She says, I didn't know where to go. I got y'all knocking on the front door, and I got y'all knocking on the back door. And I didn't want to look like a jerk. So I said, I am so sorry. Which door did you say you preferred for us to knock on? She goes, the back one. She said, I'm blind and I can't see, and that's the one I can get to the best. Well, then I really feel like a terrible person. I'm like, I'm going to meet you at the back door. I'm so sorry. I'm going to get me in my bad attitude. We're going to go to the back door. We're going to get you set up with these here eggs and supper, okay? So come on, bad attitude. Let's go to the back door. So we get to the back door, and me and my helper, we like to just give it to them at the door. You know, we don't want to go into their homes because that's their home. We're living in a pandemic right now, which, by the way, in Jesus' name, that's getting better right now. And so she just insisted that we come up in there. Here comes the bad attitude again. I ain't got time for this. I got 57 other people to attend to. Wrestling with that flesh part of me that wants to be irritable. Now look, this is Parish Christian Center. We're going to keep it real, okay? From the leadership on. The leadership can be honest, so can everybody else. It sets a precedent for the flavor of this ministry, and this, we're going to keep it real. So I had a bad attitude. She got me up there in that kitchen, and I just began to feel the Holy Spirit. And I love older people because they got a lot of wisdom. And they know how to just get this little young, bad attitude girl in check most of the time. She got me up in her kitchen. She said, now come here, Pastor Kelly. I thought, oh, don't hug me. I'm being irritable right now. You're going to get me up out of my bad mood. And I'm trying to keep that bad mood. She goes, come here. I want to just tell you something. She put her arm around me, and I just began to weep, and I said, God, I'm sorry for being such a jerk. God, you put this on my heart to be a blessing, and here I am showing out. She's loving on me, and she said, girls, I want to tell you something. And then she put both of her hands up. She said, I know they're saying this is a pandemic, but God's got control of this. God's taking care of us. And I want to tell you something. God is going to take care of you. Many times we look at the bad situations, the things that are going on that don't make us happy, the things that we feel like are going to be permanent. And we develop a bad outlook on life. We develop an irritable part. And many times we're holding our own selves up just because of a bad attitude. Now, I wrote down some of these things that this little girl said because they are right on the money. They're accurate. She said, hey, Mama, when I have an attitude, I got to fix myself. I got to fix myself. When I'm having that bad attitude, my attitude is in my way. You ever get like that? You're sitting there thinking, you're blaming the devil, your mama, your daddy, your kids, your husband. You're looking around, couldn't possibly be you. And you're blaming them for things that's not going right when really it's the bad attitude that's kept you there. It's the bad attitude that keeps us there. And she says, I know I need to start listening. Sometimes I'm like, God, I know you're talking, and just to let you know, I am not listening to that. I do not want to do that. I ain't preaching outside. There's just things, God, I ain't going to do because I'm stubborn. I'm your stubborn kid. I ain't doing that. I know I got to start listening. So many times we're saying, God, show me. God, tell me. God already has. You wasn't listening. I'm the world's worst. Jeremy will come in. He'll start talking. I'm just zoning him out. Yes, huh? Uh-huh. Yep. Well, 2 or 3 hours later go by. He'll start talking about something. I'm like, what are you talking about? I told you that 2 hours ago. And then we want to argue because I'm like, no, you didn't. He's like, yes, I did. I'm like, no, you didn't. Yeah, we have them elementary arguments. Our children come by all their stuff very honestly, I promise you. And then the little girl, she says, I know I need to start listening, and I'm starting a new life for myself. So everybody else, they're not making me have an attitude. You ever notice when you get an attitude, you're like, that person, that one, God, you know that one. God, I'm in a bad mood because of that one over there. Lord, I showed out at work because of them. God, I stopped going to church because Sally Sue, she wore her dress too tight. I had somebody tell me one time, your stripes are going the wrong way. I said, well, which way are they supposed to be going? Look here. If God can get us to do a few things, there's going to be some game-changing moments in our lives. Game-changing. But we're going to have to see ourselves and see flaws that maybe in the past we've overlooked. So today we're going to talk about attitude. And so the little girl, she says, I'm doing the attitude. They're not. They're trying to help me out. This is my favorite part because there's so much of me in this sentence. They're just trying to help me out. I just don't like how they're doing it. Amen. There's sometimes people are, they're only trying to help me out. And I'm like, I wish they'd do that in a different way. I ain't having this. People that done some stuff longer than me, they'll try to talk to me and tell me about stuff. I ain't having it. Nope. I do what I want. That's what we say. I'm going to do this how I want to because I can. So many times we get stuck up trying to prove that we can do something that we do the wrong thing. We do the wrong thing. So what I noticed in this whole thing with this little girl is although she was talking about attitude, what she did most in this video was she owned it. And she owned it with several little words like, my attitude, mine. I got to change it. It's me. What else did she say? Mine, me, I, myself. She owned it. She owned it. There's a lot of things going on in this world. And when we mess up, when we slip up, the key is to not feel condemned about it. But the key is to look at it exactly how it is and own your part of it. Own it. I left out of that little old lady's house crying. I looked over at the other yapper. I don't know anybody else that can talk more than me but her. And she talks me under the couch. She likes to talk. And we was both crying. And I said, God, help me get a hold of this bad attitude. And I know you put that woman first on the list just to get me lined out. So, God, thank you for lining me out. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're going to read in the CEV version. And so we've said here, ownership must be taken before change can take place. Ownership must be taken before change can take place. And starting in verse 1, it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beg you to live in a way that is worthy of the people God has chosen to be his own. And I want to tell you something. God's chosen you. Not only has he chosen you, but he's chosen you to be his own, to be his. You're not some washed up piece of dirt that he regrets. You're his child. And you need to know that today. You need to know that you're his child, that he loves you. There isn't anything that he wouldn't do for you. There isn't anything he hasn't done for you. Amen. And so it says here to live in such a way that's worthy to be as God's chosen ones, the ones that he calls his own. Always be humble and gentle. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I got a problem with humility. I know pastors shouldn't get up here and just tell their stuff because we have the, you know, that may backfire on you. You may turn up looking like the worst pastor in the whole world, but look here, what I've learned after growing up in the ministry, you might as well just let it be out because, baby, it's out. It's out there. So that's why I minister the way that I do because, Heather, look here, it's already out there. It's already out there. The good, the bad, and the ugly is there. So always be humble and gentle. Patiently put up with each other and love each other. On my bad days, where I'm being not so nice, I'm going, God, how long am I going to put up with such and such? How long I got? You ever ask God, Lord, how long are you going to make me put up with this? God, I don't like this. I'm tired of putting up with that. A lot of times what we're tired of putting up with, it's staying there till we change. Till we change. Till we grow. And it says, try your best to let God's Spirit keep your hearts united. Try your best to let God keep your heart. So many things want to come in and get that heart troubled, want to come in, and out of fear, you get a bad attitude. Out of irritation, you get a bad attitude. Out of stress, we get bad attitudes. The Word says we walk by faith and not by sight. Why do we do that? Because if we begin to look at what's really going on from a carnal mind, we're going to get discouraged, and then we're going to let that anxiety come in, and we're going to become irritated at the situation. You can't afford to be looking at things in a carnal way. So many times I have to stop and I have to say, God, you tell me how to look at this situation because what I want to do is be crazy right now. God, how do you see this? God, give me your intake on this. Because God sees things totally different. Totally different. And so it says, there is only one Spirit of God, just as you were given one hope when you were chosen to be God's people. We have only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is one God who is the Father of all people. Not only is God above all others, but he works by using all of us, and he lives in all of us. Christ has generously divided out his gifts to us. See, if nobody's told you today, you're gifted. If nobody's told you today that you're talented, I'm telling you now. If nobody's reminded you that you're called, I'm telling it to you right now. So why wouldn't the devil pick on you? Why wouldn't he try to get you in a state where you feel like it's never going to get any better? Why wouldn't he try to get you down and get you depressed and stressed and worried and anxious? Because you're called and you're highly favored. You're called and you're highly favored. The devil's horrified of what will happen if you actually begin to know who you are. God says, you're holy, you're chosen, I set you apart, and I called you by name. I called you by name, and you're mine. And you're mine. Look here, on my kids' worst day, when they really flub up, I'll fight anybody for them. I don't care if they was 100% up in the wrong. Let me tell you what. Mama Bear, I'm like, what did you say to my kid? That's my kid. My kid. I remember when Carson Paul was in the daycare. He's always been thin. I don't know where he gets that stuff from. I don't know where that child come from. He's like a weird hybrid version of me and my dad mixed together in one person. And that's horrifying and it's exciting all in the same moment. But he was walking since he was 9 months old, and he was tiny. He's always been a tiny, and he's into everything. That kid's into everything, and he still is. And there was this other child at daycare, and it was biting Carson Paul every single day. And these kids were like three. And I'm like, okay, you a baby. I'm going to go along with that. All right. Try not to let my kid get bit too much. You get 3 years old, you better quit biting my kid. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're another three-year-old. Me and you's about to have words, three-year-old. Quit biting my three-year-old. And this happened day after day after day. One time I got a call. The last time that happened, I got a call. And they had bit Carson on the cheek right by his eyeball. Well, that was just too far. And they said, Miss Kitson, Carson Paul just got bit right by his eyeball. I want you to come down here. I said, I want you to call his mama, and I want her down there too. Because this is stopping today. And I said, and furthermore, I want to talk to the administrator of this joint. Where is she? They said, well, she's sick with the shingles. I said, I don't care what she's sick with. She's about to get a call. Dale, I've grown a little bit since this experience. I thought shingles are not. I'm calling her. She's the boss. Hello? She goes, I've got the shingles. I said, I'm so sorry you got the shingles. Have they called you and told you that Carson Paul was bit right by the eyeball? I'm not happy about that. And it just went on and on. What I want to tell you is this right here. You don't have to have an attitude. You don't have to have an attitude. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to get ugly with anybody. Now look, I've grown a lot since that day. There have been times where I wanted to come out and just be ugly and just be just whatever those other people were being. I wanted to get right down there at that level and be that. But there's a restraint that wants to come over God's kids, and he wants to restrain you because he wants to move. So you either want what you want, and by the way, none of us really know what we want entirely because we're fickle. You ever notice what you want one day, you could wake up the next day and be like, oh, why was I wanting that? Case in point, when I got pregnant with Carson Paul, I was like, Lord, give me twins. Day one into having him, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, you didn't answer that dumb prayer. Because God, that was dumb. Don't answer that. I don't want that. Jeremy said this morning, he said, sweetie, how did you sleep? He always asks me that because he wants to know how the day's going to go. And I said, well, you know, I slept all right. He goes, I had the worst nightmare. I said, oh, when I'm really being good, I get that acting concerned, wifely thing really going on, and I really lay it on thick with him. Sweetie, what was your nightmare? He goes, I don't want to embarrass him, but we just got a little procedure. We ain't going to be having no more children. And then he looked at me and he goes, I had an absolute nightmare that you told me you wanted another kid. And I said, baby, look here. I'm not even crazy enough for that. You rest assured. Don't let the devil mess with you on that one. Because, see, this girl, we out of commission on that. We ain't doing that. I'm crazy enough. I don't need no more. So, you're God's kid. He chose you. He called you. He loves you. And he's got your back. The devil tries to get up in there and make you feel like you got to have an attitude to get some things accomplished. You don't. We don't. This little girl, she had it right. She says, I got to fix the attitude. Ain't nobody else going to fix my attitude. It's my attitude. So, to read on here, Christ has generously divided out his gifts to us. As the scriptures say, when he went up to the highest place, he led away many prisoners and gave gifts to people. When it says that he went up, it means that Christ had been deep in the earth. This also means that one who went deep into the earth is the same who went into the highest heaven, so he would fill the whole universe. Christ chose some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, so his people would learn how to serve and his body would grow strong. This will continue until we are united by our faith and by our understanding of the Son of God. Then we will be mature just as Christ is, and we will be completely like him. We must stop acting like children. Now, this is coming right out of the Word of God. We must stop acting like a bunch of kids. You ever see something on Facebook? Okay, let me rephrase this question. You ever got a response typed out on Facebook and God's saying, you better delete that? And you're going, no, but God, I really want to say this. It's going to be effective. Everybody's going to know where I stand. And, oh, I have to wrestle with myself because I'm like, this would be the best punchline for this comment that they made. And we wrestle. We wrestle with things. A lot of times we wrestle with our mouth and our attitude. And really, the problem is we're acting like three-year-olds. That one bites me, I'm going to bite him back. Get his mama up here. Man, I don't need his mama. The old Kelly, I'd be like, tell his mama stay home. I'm going to go take care of this. We're just going to settle it. Not that big a deal. So we must stop acting like children. We must not let deceitful people trick us by their false teachings, which are like winds that toss around from place to place. Love should always make us tell the truth. Love should always make us tell the truth. There's times we got attitudes with people that we love. We got to drop the attitude and just love them. Sometimes we think, I'm going to give them the silent treatment, let them know how I really feel about this situation. Silent treatment don't work. What it does is it drives a wedge right up in there and gives the devil a foothold. Love should always make us tell the truth. Then we will grow in every way and be more like Christ, the head of the body. Christ holds it together and makes all of its parts work perfectly as it grows and becomes strong because of love. As a follower of the Lord, I order you to stop living like stupid, godless people. You ever just do dumb things? You're like, I don't know why I did that, but my attitude had something to do with that. You ever make some bad calls just out of some frustrating moments? You make bad decisions out of an emotion. You ever get in a bad mood? I do this all the time. And what I've learned about myself is when I'm in a bad mood, it is not the time to drive by JCPenney. It is not the time to turn on QVC. It is not the time for that. Okay? Now look, it's also not the time to drive by Taco Bell. Okay? Now I've gone to meddling. I'll eat my emotions. I'll also buy me some emotions. Okay? If you ever see me really blinged out, it's because there was one day that it was really bad, and I wanted to sparkle after I got through it. That's how I handle my life's frustrations. Okay? But look here. You can't eat yourself under the table enough. You can't cuss that person out enough because look here, what that's doing is it's keeping you back. It's holding you back. You don't want to be held back. You want to move forward into what God's called you to do and to be. Our attitudes and our offenses hold us back. You guys are the most sweetest, beautiful, talented, gifted people that I know. And I'm not just telling you that because I'm your pastor. I'm telling you that because that's the truth. If the devil can get up in there and muddy your waters and hold you back, that's what he wants to do. At some point, we got to be like this little girl and be like, look, that's my attitude and I'm going to fix it. That's my bad decisions. Has anybody ever told you kids, I'm going to take all your toys and you're going to have just a mattress on the floor? Well, then now I'm feeling bad because I've said that. She's like, I don't want to just have a mattress on the floor and all my toys are gone. All right, let's read on here for just a second. Their minds are in the dark and they are stubborn and ignorant and have missed out on the life that comes from God. Look here, don't miss out on the life that God's got for you. Don't miss out on the life that God has for you. See, while we're hung up and we're offended or we're irritated or we're angry or we're gotten that attitude, the God life is still there. And the devil is just so happy because we stuck up in his life instead of God's life. See, you got two lanes you're going to go. Stick in God's lane. The word of God says, now straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. There's very few looking anymore. But look here. There's a straight path for you. Have you had a crooked path up to this point? Really doesn't matter because you know what? It got you sitting right here, right now, today. Today is the day of salvation. If you've messed up, if you said, I really showed out last week when I did such and such, look here, make it right. Own it. Own it. Admit it. Quit it. Move on. But we can't keep acting like kids. You ever notice? When you're really heated, something inside of you reverts back to a little kid, and you want to handle things the way a little kid would. Thank you for being honest, Brother Larry, because it makes me feel just a little bit better about my life. Yesterday, Jeremy and I, he didn't talk to me just how I want to be talked to. I thought, what am I going to do to get my point across? I'm going to walk up out of this room. That's it. Well, that's the same thing a little kid would do. Jeremy just so happens to be the most sanest person on the planet. Very level-headed. He keeps me grounded. He goes, now, Kelly. Baby, get back in the kitchen. I'm still talking to you. All right. I'm back in the kitchen, but I'm by the door because I'm going to show you. You're going to talk to me how I want to be talked to. He really wasn't talking to me mean. He was just telling me something I didn't want to hear. Sometimes when people tell us something we don't want to hear, we take that for them talking to us in such a way. When really, they ain't talking to you mean. They're just telling you something you had a point in your life you can't receive. Truth hurts sometimes. Truth stings sometimes. Get yourself where you're a teachable person. Do you have a teachable spirit? Can somebody come in and say, now look, there's a better way. There's this. There's that. You know how many people come to me with aftermath? Pastor Kelly, I've made a big mistake. I don't know what I'm going to do. My life's just in shambles. You know what I do? I say, okay. First of all, nothing is beyond God's control, his help. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to look how you got here. Many times how they got there was because at the very beginning, there was an attitude problem, and they made several clusters of dumb decisions just to show somebody they could do what they wanted to do. You ever done something, and it wasn't the best decision for you, but you did it just because you're going to show them you can do what you want. I've made some of them decisions. I made a car decision one time, $30,000, bought it off the showroom floor. The guy goes, don't you need to ask your husband about this? I said, I don't need to ask my husband nothing. I'm an independent woman. Blew up 90 days later. I said, God, why did you let this happen to me? God, I'm your kid. God brought my little pea brain back to that comment I made. I don't need my husband tell me what I can and can't do. Well, the problem with that thinking is that he's the head of the household. He may want to know when I want to spend 30 grand. Or 50. You get my point? A lot of people say, well, you know, strong-headed women, they just want to take over everything. You know what I've learned? Order. Order. So let's keep reading here. Their minds are in the dark, and they are stubborn and ignorant and have missed out on the life that comes from God. They no longer have any feelings about what is right, and they are so greedy that they do all kinds of indecent things. But this isn't what you were taught about Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and you heard about him and learned about him. You were told that your foolish desires will destroy you, and you must give up your old way of life and its bad habits. See, there's an old way of thinking that you got to give up. There's an old way of handling things that we have to give up. And make you into, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. Here we go. I'm a stubborn person. I can't change the way I think just on my own. But I can let God come in and change the way that I think. There's things that I used to think about different situations, and I don't feel that way anymore because God's given me a greater sense of compassion. There's scenarios that come up many times in people's life, and I used to just think, well, you did that to yourself. Just be hard-hearted over it. I'm different now because I did a lot of things to myself too. And I realize things that I didn't realize before. And so it says, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God, and so you must please him and be truly holy. We are part of the same body. Stop lying and start telling each other the truth. Don't get so angry that you sin. Don't go to bed angry. And don't give the devil a chance. Y'all say, don't give the devil a chance. Many times our attitudes are compounded because day after day after day after day, we chose to not forgive. And because of that unforgiveness, a root of bitterness and an attitude developed. You got anybody in your life where their name even comes up, you just like, ugh. One time I was so full of myself. This is a true story. About 3 years ago, we bought our new house, Josh. And my husband brought somebody's name up. And you talk about going from pleasant to crazy and psychotic like in 2 seconds. I said, this is our new house and don't you ever mention her name up in it again. He looked at me. He goes, that was all top crazy even for you. See? But see, God wants to ring your doorbell today. Do you got people? You can't even hear their name. Or it's going to get you irritated. It's going to give you that feeling like something's boiling up under your skin. Do you got places that you can't even go because somebody's there? Look here, you know you got a problem when you're scrolling up in Walmart and you're checking the parking lot out and you're making sure that one ain't in there because you can't act right. How can I preach about this? Because I've done that. How do I know? Because I've done it. I know what it's like to scroll the parking lot. The problem is when you get up in there first and then they come in. And they come down your aisle. And then you're like, thank God for the masks. There's a part of this that's been very good. Amen? This is the truth. God's done a lot of work in my heart. And my silly self is smiling up under the mask most of the time. I used to be the most miserable person that I know. Now I'm just a smidge miserable sometimes. And when I am, it's because I've done that to myself. But see, don't act like a kid. And if you're going to act like a kid, act like this little girl. That attitude's all mean. People try to help. I don't like the way they helped. I don't like what they said. I got to have friends. I'm good, but not that good. You notice? That little struggle in that little girl. She goes, I'm going to take me and my good attitude, and I'm going to go have a new life. Let me wrap up this reading here. So it says, don't get so angry that you sin. Don't go to bed angry, and don't give the devil a chance. See, stop giving the devil chances. Because you know what those chances really are? Footholds. Footholds. Footholds will take years out of your life. They'll keep you years in a place you didn't want to be. And it says, if you're a thief, quit stealing, be honest, and work hard so you will have something to give to people in need. Stop all your dirty talk, say the right thing at the right time, and help others by what you say. Don't make God's spirit sad. Do you know that you can make God sad? Amen? The Spirit makes you sure that someday you'll be free from your sins. Stop being bitter. Stop being bitter. That bitterness has given you an attitude that's very unappealing. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others, just as God forgave you because of Christ. Now, what I want to ask you this morning is, how did he forgive you? Did he forgive you and put it in a sea of forgetfulness and never bring it up? Or every time that you do something, does he bring it up and throw it in your face? See, the word says, be imitators of God. So, the word says, forgive as Christ forgave you. How has he forgiven you? How has he forgiven you? Another translation in verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of that stuff. It's holding you back. Get rid of that attitude. It's holding you back. God hasn't brought you this far to let you be hung up and held back by an attitude problem. I stopped hearing that person's name and being ugly. And I started saying, every time their name's brought up, I say, God, in Jesus' name, help that person. God, in Jesus' name, help my enemy. God, help us not to be enemies. God, whatever they're in need of, God, I ask that you'd give it to them. God, whatever their heart is troubled over, God, I ask that you put peace in that heart of theirs. See, we got to shift from acting like kids to just being God's kid. There has to be a shifting going on. Last place for me, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You don't serve a God that's far off. You serve a God that's right there. When you're tempted to get that haughty spirit, when you're tempted to get that agitation going on, remember, God's near. So whatever has gotten you in that state of mind, know that He's near. Know that you don't have to be that way because He's near and He's in control and He's taking care of that. The thing that's got you irritable, the thing that's got you sad. See, we could have that attitude and that sadness if God wasn't near or if God wasn't real, but see, God is exactly who He says that He is. And His Word does not return void. So when God says, I'll take care of every single thing, even the last details, even the little things that you didn't think of to ask me for. See, that's your reason to lay all those things down. That's the reason to get rid of that attitude. Because you know what? You serve Daddy God. And He is the one that's going to take care of it. He is the one going to perfect it. The devil wants to take you and make you ineffective. What makes us ineffective? When we will not put on the mind of Christ. When we will not just say, God, I'm going to do what You've called me to do. And God, the things that I'm worried about, God, I'm going to just know that You're handling them. There's been times where I sat in my seat, Melissa, and I just cried. Because you know what? I thought, God, I don't feel like preaching right now because I got some real problems. And God said, Kelly, do your calling. I'm taking care of those problems. Feed my sheep. Preach the word, Kelly. As you're preaching, I've scooped up those problems and I begin to perfect them. See, devil don't want you doing what you're supposed to do. He wants to paralyze you and make you ineffective. God wants to scoop you up, get you walking in your calling. And fix all the little things that's got you so wound up. He'll do it. He'll do it more and better than you could have ever imagined. But we have to make that mental note. Let God work. So we say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't let that anxiety come up into that heart. It doesn't have to. God's right there. He's right there. He's going to take care of it. When anxiety wants to creep in, you shut that door and you say, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You, Lord, that You've already taken care of what's trying to get me anxious. So, God, I'm not going to walk in this anxiety. God, I'm going to walk in You. I'm going to walk in what You've called me to do today. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard your heart and your minds in Christ. So finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Stop thinking and looking at the situation that you feel like is going to always be that way, because, honey, it ain't. God's working. So get your thought life lined up with the Word of God. Think about what's right. What's right? God says you've already got the victory. What's true? You're His child. He's done taking care of it. What do you got left to do? Walk in it. Walk in it. It's easy to do when everything's going right. It's hard to do when everything is going wrong. I've had those times where everything was going wrong. In those times, this is key. This is key. Look here. God didn't save you to get you to acting like a three-year-old. God saved you. He blessed you. He set you apart. He said, that's my child. Be who God made you to be. You don't need the attitude. You don't need that mean old self. Sometimes when I don't feel good, I say, honey, I don't feel good. And Jeremy goes, it's all that meanness. I tell him, I don't think it's the meanness. I think I'm just tired. But look here. God wants to bring you to a higher level than you've ever walked. That level is that blessed assurance. Hard to be having an attitude when you know God's going to make everything turn out right. Hard to be ugly to people when you know God will do the judging. He'll do the judging. We're going to leave the judging to Him. Amen? So it says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. See, God is a God of peace. God is a God of order. God is a God that is near. Now, the question that I have for you today is very simple. The Word says, get rid of bitterness. Get rid of that rage. Get rid of that anger. Get rid of that offense. Get rid of that hurt. It's holding you back. And God wants to take you higher. So I ask you today, is there some things in your thought life? Is there some things in your mind? And you know, I got to get rid of those. I got to fix those. I got to get that out of me. I want you to stand. Because see, there's times where I say, God, I can't. And look here, God says, but I can. But what does it take? It takes us knowing. It takes us saying, God, I got to fix that. You can't stop something that you won't acknowledge that's there to begin with. Father God, Lord, I thank you, God, for every single person, Lord, that's in your house. God, for every one of them that's watching. Lord, I thank you right now. God, you've met us, each one of us, right where we're at. So many times people think, I got to go here to see Jesus. Look here. God will meet you exactly right where you're at in your life. So God, I thank you that that's what you're doing today. God, I thank you, Lord, that you walked down every aisle. God, you've touched each person with so much grace. God, they can let these things go. God, I ask right now that you show us how you see us. Lord, I thank you right now for freedom. God, in peace. Lord God. And I thank you, God, that anything in us, Lord, that's not supposed to be there, God, it's holding us back. Lord, I ask right now that you'd help us lay those things down at the feet of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.